Greetings, radio friends. Your speaker at this time is Evangelist David S. Horn of Denver, Colorado, coming to you with another message from the precious Word of God. We spoke to you in a previous broadcast on 1 Corinthians chapter 1, but I'm going to touch on that. Then I'm going into chapter 2 and possibly later into chapter 3. Now, the theme of chapter 1 is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul, when he went to Corinth, and as some of you possibly know, that was the seat of learning. And so when he went there, he said, "Now I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." And they did say this, "What will this babbler say?" Well, he said, "This is what I'm going to say. I'm going to tell you about a crucified man." Now, I think most of you understand that it was only criminals that died on crosses. That was the Roman way of putting men to death that had been guilty of certain crime. But now we have a man before us that he's speaking about that is crucified, Christ and Him crucified. Well, to hear a word like that coming to enlightened and intelligent men that were living in that day in the seat of learning, what will this man say about that? Imagine him coming to us with a message that a man was crucified. But, beloved friend, he came with a message from God. And the message he brought was, the man that died on the middle cross, the man that died on Calvary's cross, Christ crucified, was the man that died not for his own sin. Well, the Word of God makes very plain that he did no sin, that he knew no sin, that he thought or had no sin, and yet that one is dying on the cross. Well, someone would say, why was he there as the bearer of sin? If on Jesus my guilt was not laid, and why flowed from that side the sin-cleansing blood, if his dying my debt has not paid? Well, he went there to pay a debt. But it was not his own debt he paid. It was the debt of sin he paid. But whose sin? Your sin, beloved friend, and my sin. Someone is saying, do you mean to tell me that his going to the cross 1900 years ago answered for my sin? The Word of God said earlier than that, yes, many years earlier than that, many hundred years earlier, that the Lord laid on him the sin or the iniquity of us all. Now, beloved friend, this was God's divine panacea for the sin of the entire world. And that's Christ crucified. Well, he went to that place, and as he went preaching to that great learned congregation, that great learned people, yet he said it's Christ and Christ alone. Well, beloved friend, let me tell you why. And that's what the sinner needs in this day and age. We in chapter 2 have the Spirit of God spoken of, but that is only for men and women that have received the gospel, that has received the Savior. Then they are born of the Holy Spirit of God, and then they know what He is talking about. One verse comes to my mind. It's verse 14 of the second epistle. This is what it said. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why, says someone, who are the natural men? Just you and I that have never been saved by the grace of God. Natural men and women is just men, mankind, as they are today, walking through this life, destitute of the Savior and destitute of the Spirit of God. They are absolutely ignorant of anything that pertains to the things of God. Well, we have in this verse once again, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Then further, they are foolishness unto him, and neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Well, someone may laugh and say, that is very, very strange. We're natural men, and you say the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. Then why are you speaking to us? Well, let me give you the words of the Savior. He went to a religious, he went to an educated man, and he said to that man, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so there must be another birth. There must be another way of getting this knowledge, and it comes only by birth. There was a man I knew very, very well. I still know him. And he lives in Denver, Colorado, but prior to that he had lived in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And he went out to hear some preaching, and he heard something strange that he had never heard before. He wondered why his wife could say she was saved and sure of heaven. He wondered how others could say they are saved and sure of heaven. Well, a man got up and spoke on the third chapter of the Gospel by John, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Well, he said, "That leaves me out. I have never been born again." Now, the next thing is, how does a man get born again? How do we become children of God? Well, he went on down the chapter and he showed us from that third chapter of the Gospel by John that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to die on Calvary's cross to take the sinner's place. Then John's epistle, chapter 5 and verse 1 says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." How simple it is to be born of God. Once again, let me repeat, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ," that's the Messiah, that's the Savior, that's the Redeemer, that one came from God, that one became the Savior of the world, that one I can say is my Savior, and that one wants to be your Savior. Now, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. But I must get at chapter 2 now. In this 2 Corinthians and verse 9 of this chapter, I must read now. "But as it is written," that was in the Old Testament, "I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor neither have it entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him." Now there's many, many things prepared for them that love him, but he tells us now, "I have not seen." Now this was the unknown thing. This was the unseen thing. This was the unheard thing until God brought it down to man through the Savior, and now by the Holy Spirit of God, they are revealed unto us. I thank God for revelation. I thank God for the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, that revealed one. I thank God for the revelation of His Word, that tells us we can know, that we may know here and now in this life. Verse 10 of our chapter tells us this, "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." The Spirit of God is searching and revealing the deep things of the Spirit of God so that we can know them. Thank God some of us can say, and we do know them, and they have been revealed unto us. "Once I was in the dark, once I was blind, once I had no understanding, once I was as black could be Godward, but now today I'm in the light, and I can say I know." Let me give you one little verse of Scripture found in John's Epistle, chapter 5 and verse 13. He says, "These things have I written," or revealed, "written unto you that you may know." Now we have the revelation. We have it revealed in the Word of God found in verse 13. "These things have I written unto you that believe." First of all, you'll never know them till you believe them. Then when you believe them, at once you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. You're made children of God. I think of many men and women today that say, "How can I know? I don't believe it's possible." I'll tell you why. You're just a natural man. You're just a natural woman. First of all, you must, as a natural man, receive the Spirit of God, receive the Word of God, and then you'll know the things that are freely given unto us of God. Well, in this chapter I've called our attention to, it's the Spirit of God, and He's mentioned at least 7 times in this little book. And so I must read one or two of them. Well, he said, "God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit." That was number 1. "For the Spirit searcheth all things." That is number 2. And in verse 11 of this chapter, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him?" Now I know what you think about, And you know what I think about? Oh, said someone, you don't know what I think about. Why, the things that I think about are so mean and so terrible. I would hate to think anyone thinks as I do. Well, the hearts of men are fashioned alike. We're all by nature sinners, and I want to tell you, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. So my heart is like your heart by nature, and we need a new creation. We need a new heart. Yes, we need a new life. Now someone is saying, how does that come about? Well, I must read on about the Spirit of God. Then in verse 11 we have, no man knows the things of man save the Spirit of man which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. And now God has given his Spirit to come into the world. This is what he said in John 16, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall convince the world of sin. That is what made you tremble, and that is what possibly made you weep, and that is what possibly made you search, because the Spirit of God has come into that heart of yours, and he's showing you your need of salvation, your need of a Savior. And if you haven't come to that Savior as yet, why not come to him now? Why not, as a lost sinner, receive Christ, and you will be born of the Holy Spirit of God. The Word of God says in Ephesians chapter 1:13, after that ye believe, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption. Blessed, happy sealing that is. That makes you his own. That will fit you for heaven. And as I am about to draw this message to a close, let me say once again, you need to be born of the Holy Spirit of God. And then if you receive Christ, you'll have the Spirit, you'll have the Savior, and God's Word for it, a title clear to mention in the sky.